We go out to the hotline to welcome in Mike Colligan of the Hockey Writers. Mike, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good to hear from you, Chris. It's interesting this time of year to be talking hockey, I guess, with the middle of the summer. We're past the draft. We're past free agency. But seems like never the dull moment as far as the Pittsburgh Penguins are concerned.
Well, you know what? I'm going to talk to you about the sale and everything else. But I just went on a mini rant about NBA Summer League and NHL prospect camps. And even though I'm paid to talk about sports and have informed opinions, I can't do it with either of those things. I can't latch on and get interested. How valuable is prospect camp? I'll take it from a guy that would know a lot better than I.
Well, I think as long as you contain it to a mini rant, you're probably still safe. But when you look at the Penguins and their prospect situation, this could be a year without much in the way of prospects. I mean, I just saw the listing of Wilkes-Barre Penguin minor league defenseman for next year. And what used to be this narrative of Penguins defensive depth based on all the first-round picks from Ray Shiro spent on defensemen, suddenly none of them are there anymore. And it's an interesting story when you think about all the forwards that have been passed up and now defense becoming shallower and shallower. I think this team is really in a short window as far as finding success because there's not much coming down the pike in the next few years here.
Well, Mike, from that to now, this sale rumor that it's at least imminent, that there's there's shadowy groups. You're never hearing names about this right now. But do you think that this sale actually happens sooner rather than later, as soon as later this week?
No, I'd actually be very surprised if it's that quick. But I'm not surprised that we're starting to hear things leak. When I had wrote in the spring about the potential for a sale and why I thought it was very logical from the perspective of Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle, the co-owners and co-majority owners of the Penguins, it just made a lot of sense. And I think this was the logical summer with that window probably closing in the next few years. This team is really at its peak from really a business perspective. Now, when you look back 2 weeks ago, acquiring Phil Kessel, that's a perfect business move if you're looking to sell a franchise. I mean, before you sell your car, you're going to take care of it. You're going to shine the windows, shine the wheels. And I think Phil Kessel is potentially that shiny piece to bring in for a potential to buyer to even be more interested in a team that already had a ton of superstar talent. But as far as the timeline, I was thinking maybe by the opening week of next season would be a logical move. When you think about the complexity of these deals, and we're talking anywhere from $500 to maybe $800 million, it takes time for that to occur. Now, that's assuming we're bringing in outside investors and outside groups that aren't familiar with Penguins. If there is some kind of a restructuring or someone internal that's familiar with the numbers already, it certainly can move a lot quicker than that.
Mike Colligan of the Hockey Writers talking to us right now on Starkey and Mueller about this Penguins sale process. How important is it for the NHL, Mike, that this team sells for somewhere north of, say, $700 million, which has been kind of one low valuation, according to that Pittsburgh Business Times piece, as high as $850 million to other estimates?
That's a great question. You know, when you look at these businesses, I think it really comes down to two methods of valuation here. First of all, you've got the irrational valuation. These are sports franchises. I mean, these are toys for some of these billionaires. And so while business numbers and you'd think that, you know, profitability and all of those things matter in the end, it sometimes comes down to these guys just want a sports franchise so that they can have their name, you know, right at the top of the list there and be out in front of fans and in press conferences, and there's no dollar value you can put on that. That's where the irrational buyers can come in. And I think in a logical, or if you're the Penguins and saying, hey, what would we love to see in an ideal scenario, you've got two illogical buyers that would come in and just need the Penguins so badly that they'd bid that price up beyond what any of the financial metrics would tell you. Now, in the absence of that, you talk more around business valuation. You think about, you know, what's the future profit of the franchise? And that can come from really two different streams. First, it's team-driven, whether that's merchandise or television rights or anything that comes from the Pittsburgh Penguins themselves. And we know that the Penguins are certainly in a very strong position from that standpoint. And then secondly, you've got league-driven revenues, you know, the Winter Classics, the league events that are becoming more and more popular and the league continues to push year after year. Those are another source of revenue as we go forward here. So I think back to your original question, it comes down to kind of what's a rough multiple that those things are worth. The Minnesota Wild sold recently for about 3.4 times their revenue. And if you take that and apply it to some rough numbers on the Penguins, that would put us in the range of about $500 million. So while I see $700, $800, $900 million being floated out there, I don't really know the source of those numbers. But I also know that when it comes to this, it can be a bit of a moving target as trying to as far as trying to pin down a specific range.
Two final questions for you, Mike, as we got about 2 minutes left here. One, should Penguins fans take it as a bad sign, maybe, that the team has peaked, maybe, from a business standpoint as far as value? Does that just mean, no matter what, kind of dovetailing with Crosby and Malkin maybe being at the apex of their primes and starting the backside of their careers, is it everything, you know, is gonna head in that direction now for a while?
I think that's a foregone conclusion, but I think at the same time, it's a matter of how quickly that occurs. Now, if they don't make the Phil Kessel deal, I think that potentially that window may have been closed already. When you look at really the team and where they're at and a lack of depth, it's getting tougher and tougher to compete in their division in the Eastern Conference. But at the same time, if you're going to continue to go for Stanley Cup, sometimes you just have to keep mortgaging your future. And I think that's what we saw in the Kessel deal, was trading prospects and picks and really saying, hey, in these next 2 or 3 years, this is the chance for the Penguins to win that elusive second Stanley Cup in the Crosby and Malkin era.
Mike, last question for you. Should there be any concern on the part of fans? Because one thing you can never take away from the Burkle Lemieux group is that they're always willing to spend right up to the cap ceiling to try to keep this team in the hunt and chase down that second cup. Do you think there's any reason to be concerned that maybe whoever buys it, even if it's somebody with deep pockets, isn't necessarily inclined to do the same?
I think it's maybe not a huge concern, but it's certainly a possibility, is that it took a different business mindset to really go to the salary cap in a city like Pittsburgh, where you don't have the big corporate dollars like a New York or Toronto. But Ron Burkle and Mary Lemieux were willing to do that, knowing and thinking that, hey, if we put a competitive team on the ice and we chase that Stanley Cup with these superstars that we've already got, we might be able to cash in from a business perspective, and it obviously worked out for them. So I think that's certainly a factor. But as you look at the Pittsburgh landscape in sports, as the Pirates become more popular, yeah, the Penguins may fall off a bit as far as becoming the hot ticket in town. And in that case, are they going to have the revenues to support a team that spends at the cap ceiling every year? I'm not so sure, but that'll certainly be up to the new ownership group and what direction they want to take the team. All a lot of unknowns at this point.
All right, Mike, I'm sorry, I'm going to go overtime. Think of this as a shootout, maybe, or a penalty shot here. I'm going to throw one name at you that just pops into my mind whenever a Pittsburgh team comes up: Chuck Greenberg as a potential owner.
I think that's a very, very good name. You know, Chuck's got a lot of ties to the Pittsburgh area. He's got ties to the Major League Baseball, was an owner for the Texas Rangers at one point, and certainly has a lot of incentive to get involved with the Penguins. And so I think you're heading in the right direction from that standpoint.
Mike Colligan, the Hockey Writers. Always a pleasure, Mike. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Chris. Take care.